Hello, and welcome back to Surgery 101, the podcast series brought to you with the help of the Department of Surgery at the University of Alberta. Please visit our website at surgery101.org to learn more about the Surgery 101 app, Surgery 101 notes, and the Surgery 101 network. This week's episode is the second in a series of two episodes dealing with urology and cancer. And we'll be hearing again from our Surgery 101 expert, Dr. Niels Jacobsen. Last week, he told us about renal cell carcinoma, and this week, he's going to tell us about bladder cancer. And he'll be using a familiar framework that you heard of last week. He'll be looking at epidemiology, biology, and risk factors, first of all. Then he'll be talking about how patients present, and how they're evaluated, and how the cancer is staged. And lastly, he'll be talking about treatment options for patients with bladder cancer. So, let's get ready to deal with more problems with the P here on Surgery 101.
In this podcast, we'll discuss bladder cancer, urothelial cancer in particular, focusing on the epidemiology, biology, risk factors, presentation, evaluation, staging, and treatment of bladder cancer. First, we'll discuss epidemiology. In terms of prevalence, bladder cancer is the most common malignancy of the urinary tract. This is based on a high rate of local recurrence within the bladder and because it can affect both sexes. That being said, men are affected more commonly than women by a 3-to-1 ratio. Bladder cancer is the fourth most common malignancy in men and the ninth most common in women in North America. Roughly 75,000 new cases are diagnosed annually in the United States, 15,000 of which eventually die of the disease. The median age of diagnosis is approximately 70 years. Caucasians are affected more commonly than are African Americans and Asians. This trend has not been shown to parallel racial smoking rates, indicating that genetic factors are at play in terms of the protective effects against smoking, which has been shown to be an important risk factor for bladder cancer development. The lifetime risk of bladder cancer among North American white men is 3%. It is interesting to note that based on its high prevalence, bladder cancer has proven to be the most expensive cancer to treat. Urothelial cancer, otherwise known as TCC, or transitional cell carcinoma, is the most commonly identified histologic subtype, accounting for 95% of bladder cancers in the developed world. Squamous cell carcinoma is the second most common subtype at 3%, but it actually accounts for most cases of bladder cancer in Egypt, where schistosomiasis is endemic. Less commonly seen histology includes adenocarcinoma, small cell carcinoma, and micropapillary variant. Next, we'll discuss risk factors for bladder cancer. By far, the most important risk factor is smoking, which triples a person's risk of developing bladder cancer. Additional risk factors include toxic, occupational-related exposure to aromatic amines, which may occur in the printing, petrochemical, and aluminum industries, amongst others. Chronic inflammation, be it from infection, radiation, and chronic indwelling catheters, can predispose to bladder cancer, and in particular, squamous cell carcinoma. As already stated, genitourinary schistosomiasis is a common cause of squamous cell carcinoma of the bladder in Egypt. There appears to be no strong genetic or familial component in the development of bladder cancer. In terms of location, urothelial carcinoma may occur anywhere along the urinary tract, from the renal calyces and renal pelvis down to the urethra. The bladder happens to be the most common location for bladder cancer to develop, likely based on its large surface area and by the fact that it endures the longest contact time with any predisposing carcinogens excreted into the urine. Because bladder cancer is such a common problem, it is important to highlight its presentation and evaluation. Hematuria, be it gross or microscopic, is the most common form of presentation by far, with microscopic hematuria being defined as greater than 3 red blood cells per high-powered field in 2 out of 3 urinalyses taken. Bladder cancer seldom is identified incidentally, meaning that the vast majority of cases declare themselves by spilling blood into the urine. It is on this basis that the urologic community recommends a formal hematuria evaluation in all patients with gross hematuria, as well as patients with microscopic hematuria over 40 years of age, or those with a history of smoking or occupational exposure. Such an evaluation should include cystoscopy, urine cytology, and upper tract imaging of the kidneys and ureters by way of ultrasound or CT imaging. Some cases, particularly carcinoma in situ, may not present with gross hematuria, but rather with microscopic hematuria and persistent irritative voiding symptoms. Unfortunately, many patients in this circumstance are treated inappropriately with antibiotics despite persistently negative urine cultures. This manner of presentation is uncommon, but it is important for all physicians to consider urologic referral to evaluate for bladder cancer if a patient has persistent microscopic hematuria and irritated voiding symptoms in the absence of proven urinary tract infection. Once again, the evaluation of hematuria should include cystoscopy, urine cytology, and upper tract imaging. Urine cytology, which suffers from a low sensitivity, does have a fairly high specificity for bladder cancer, which means that if the test is positive, you have the disease. Its sensitivity is higher amongst high-grade tumors, but is still not high enough to preclude cystoscopy if the test is negative. Next, we will discuss the clinical biology of bladder cancer. Urothelial cancer occurs in two distinct forms: low-grade tumors, which typically remain superficial and pose little if any threat to life, and high-grade tumors, which portend a high potential for local invasion, metastases, and death if not dealt with aggressively. Fortunately, most cases, approximately two-thirds, are low-grade, superficial at presentation. These tumors have a high rate of local recurrence, well above 70%, but remain rather indolent. The high rate of local recurrence shown by both in high and low-grade tumors is due to the field change effect that occurs as a result of exposure to urinary toxins. Essentially, what this means is the entire urothelium is abnormal and prone to the development of de novo tumors based on multifocal malignant mutations. Once a tumor is identified or suspected on cystoscopy, an endoscopic transurethral resection or biopsy should be performed. This provides both grading and staging information, and in the case of superficial disease, it is therapeutic. Grade is broken down into low and high grade tumors. Stage is broken down into superficial tumors which do not invade the muscularis propria and muscle invasive tumors which do invade the muscularis propria. Superficial disease includes carcinoma in situ, TA and T1 tumors, whereas invasive tumors include T2 tumors which invade into the bladder muscle, T3 tumors which also invade into the pervesical fat surrounding the bladder, and T4 tumors which extend into adjacent organs including prostate, vagina, uterus, bowel, and pelvic sidewall. Low-grade tumors typically require transurethral resection only for staging, whereas high-grade invasive and some high-grade superficial tumors also require CT scan of the abdomen and pelvis. Now let's discuss the treatment of bladder cancer. The primary treatment considerations for bladder cancer are tumor grade and stage. The three typical scenarios encountered are low-grade superficial tumors, high-grade superficial tumors, and high-grade muscle-invasive tumors. As already stated, low-grade tumors, which are almost never invasive, are rather indolent with a long-term cancer-specific survival that exceeds 90%. For these tumors, transurethral resection is considered curative, recognizing that a high proportion of patients will develop a local superficial recurrence within the bladder at some point. On this basis, most guidelines recommend the use of adjuvant intracycl chemotherapy either at the time of surgery or in the postoperative period. Such treatment reduces the relative risk of local recurrence by 25%. Such treatment has become the standard of care in Europe. Once treated, the patient enters into a periodic cystoscopic surveillance program in order to identify local recurrence. In contrast to low-grade tumors, superficial tumors that are high-grade still pose a threat to life and can metastasize even though they are superficial to the muscularis propria. On this basis, high-grade superficial tumors require more intensive therapy, which can, on occasion, even involve complete removal of the bladder, known as radical cystectomy. Most commonly, however, these tumors are treated by transurethral resection and adjuvant intracycle therapy. Although chemotherapeutic agents instilled within the bladder, such as mitomycin and gemcitabine, can be used, the most effective intravesical agent is BCG, which is an attenuated mycobacterium. Bladder instillation of BCG, typically done weekly for 6 weeks, plus or minus additional treatment sessions at 3, 6, and 12 months, a nonspecific tumoricidal immune reaction. BCG has demonstrated the best results in terms of reducing both tumor recurrence and progression rates for urothelial carcinoma. Although it can be used for low-grade tumors as well, it is usually reserved for high-grade tumors based on its not insignificant side effect profile, which includes irritated voiding symptoms, fever, and in rare circumstances, hepatic or pulmonary tuberculosis. Once treated, the patient enters into a periodic cystoscopic surveillance program in order to identify local recurrence. Since high-grade tumors recur more commonly than do low-grade tumors, cystoscopy is performed more frequently and for a longer duration than for low-grade tumors. High-grade superficial tumors that recur despite BCG are typically offered cystectomy based on a high risk of muscle invasion, metastases, and death. It is important to point out that intravesical therapy, including BCG, is not effective for muscle-invasive tumors and should not be used in this circumstance. Muscle-invasive tumors have a high metastatic potential and should be dealt with aggressively. Transurethral resection is rarely curative in this setting. Despite effective local therapy, a high percentage of patients will recur at distant sites. On this basis, current guidelines call for aggressive multimodal therapy for muscle-invasive tumors. The options include radical cystectomy in combination with systemic chemotherapy, which is considered the standard of care, or, as an alternative, external beam radiotherapy delivered concurrently with systemic chemotherapy. Radical cystectomy involves the complete removal of the bladder and prostate in men, or the bladder and gynecologic organs in women. Patients also undergo an extended pelvic lymph node dissection and require urinary diversion by way of an ileal conduit, an orthotopic neobladder, or a continent cutaneous diversion, all of which are beyond the scope of this podcast. Although radiochemotherapy has shown success in select cases with small invasive tumors, it is still considered inferior to radical cystectomy and is typically reserved for patients who are poor operative candidates or those who refuse to lose their bladder. Metastatic urothelial carcinoma, which unfortunately is not uncommon today, carries with it a very poor prognosis. Even with treatment, the median survival is less than 1 year. Chemotherapy, usually involving gemcitabine and cisplatin, is the standard regimen, although MVAC, is also used at some centers. Cystectomy is not indicated in cases of metastatic bladder cancer, as it has not been shown to improve survival. So now let's summarize the salient points of this discussion today as it pertains to bladder cancer. Bladder cancer is the most common genitourinary cancer, largely based on its high rate of local recurrence within the bladder. Urothelial carcinoma, otherwise known as transitional cell carcinoma, is the most common histologic subtype. Smoking is the key risk factor for the development of bladder cancer, but occupational exposures are also important. Patients almost always present with gross or microscopic hematuria, the evaluation of which includes cystoscopy, urine cytology, and upper tract imaging by way of ultrasound or CT scan. Low-grade superficial tumors are treated with transurethral resection. While intravesical therapy can be used in addition to transurethral resection for low-grade tumors so as to reduce the risk of local recurrence. High-grade superficial tumors require transurethral resection followed by intravesical BCG or intravesical chemotherapy. Localized muscle-invasive tumors are life-threatening and require aggressive multimodal therapy. Radical cystectomy in combination with chemotherapy is the standard of care, but some patients with small tumors can be cured with chemoradiotherapy. Metastatic tumors are not curable, and the average survival is unfortunately less than 1 year, even with chemotherapy. Cystectomy is not offered in metastatic cases because it does not improve survival. Well, that's the end of our discussion today. I hope you found this podcast useful for both your studies and future career.
That's it for bladder cancer. If you'd like to hear more of our episodes, please go to surgery101.org, where you can find them all there, all the time. We'd also really appreciate it if you consider purchasing the Surgery 101 app for your phone, which is only 99 cents, or consider subscribing to Surgery 101 Notes. Information is on the website. And please use the Surgery 101 network to request new episodes, to submit episodes of your own, and to connect with us using Facebook and Twitter. And if you're feeling particularly old-fashioned, you can always drop us an email at surgerypodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next week on Surgery 101.